Warning: The Mended Futures podcast contains stories told by guests that may be sensitive to some people. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. The opinions expressed by guests do not reflect the views of the hosts and/or producers of this podcast.
On the episode you're getting ready to watch, we have a conversation with Derek Parham from the local Boys and Girls Club, and he uses the phrase "standing in the gap" throughout this episode. It really made me think. Mm-hmm. We hope you enjoy. You all are in for a treat today. We have a local community leader who chooses to hang out with adolescents. So we have that in common. Can you tell the folks, who are you?
My name is Derek Parham. I serve at the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Lynchburg. I'm the team coordinator. I've been there about, I'm going on 4 years by the end of this month.
Wow.
So I've been in there for, pretty much like a semester at school, but not semester, but like all 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm ready to graduate. So I honestly learned a lot. Working at the Boys and Girls Club kind of reminds me how I was brought up as well.
Ooh.
That would continues to have me keep coming back in different days where you might experience something. It's always different. It's never going to be the same. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do.
I love what you just said. It keeps me coming back because those of us who choose to work along the river, it's not always easy. And it's a choice to keep showing up and it's a choice to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So you answered who you are and who you are professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you personally?
Derek is probably, I'm speaking in third person. No,
go ahead.
I'll say probably a humble person. Loves to make people laugh. Loves to have a good time. And just care, always caring for people. I feel like that's the biggest thing. When I found to know Christ, that was the biggest thing I learned with Christ, is just love. And I also want to show other people that. So, yeah.
So you have a podcast?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
And you very humbly said when you sat down on the couch, "I'm not nervous. I have a podcast."
Yeah, I'm not nervous. It's called Times Changing. It's with two of my friends, Khalil Baker and Josh Hamlin. So we pretty much started the podcast about relationships. Well, originally it wasn't about relationships, but it trickles down to like the beginning of relationships, singleness, engagement, marriage. We interview people about those things. And then we also interview like local rappers in the area as well.
Very cool.
So it's like a lifestyle podcast. I think I've been doing it almost since 2020. So it's
going on
5 years. Yeah, so we talk about all those type of things, even with things we do in the community or we individually doing in our lives, what's changing and what new seasons it is.
Cool.
So it's been a good journey with them. Those are some guys that I could always lean on whenever I'm in trouble. They always support me, even with the work I do. They help the Boys and Girls Club as well. Come volunteer, come check up on some kids as well. So, yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
So you're a veteran. He's been doing this way longer than we have.
Yeah. I want to highlight something that you just said. I like to repeat things because on average, people need to hear something 40 times. Seriously. You just said something very nonchalantly that is huge in life and in relationships. You have guys, you have friends, you have a village that you can count on. And they're going to prop you up in your work, and they're also showing up for the teens that you work with. So you are blessed, and you are probably blessing them. But if you're listening, you know, we talk about where is your place on the river and who are you in this village of trying to help kids and families. Maybe you don't directly support teens, maybe you don't directly foster, but you can directly help someone who's helping.
I can agree on that, because I think that's the biggest thing when people, I think, when they come into my circle, they feel like that brotherhood or just part of the family type of thing. And I always wanted people to, like, even just teens or little kids as well, to feel that way, because sometimes that's what they're truly missing at home, or you never really know that individual, what they're really going through. beyond those like four walls where they come to. Mm-hmm. So that was the biggest thing I think I took a step as, like, I want people to feel that. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, I could just thank God for that, because it's, he provides that and he showed me those opportunities and to see it in other people as well, to bring them around and bring them together. Mm-hmm. So
for people who either haven't heard of the Boys and Girls Club or have heard of it, but don't really know what it is, mm-hmm. could you sort of introduce it?
Okay. As Allison already spoke, just serving the adolescents, but also just sending the gap between the ages from 6 to 18. Mm-hmm. Just trying to make, the biggest thing I learned working at the Boys and Girls Club is you're standing the gap, but also trying to help the next generation create a bright future. Some way, somehow, that's the goal. When they walk through those doors, let's try to prepare them to come up with a plan for the future. So, because that's the generation that's going to be after us. So it's just helping them just to find a plan, what they're really doing, interest, introducing them to those things as well.
I want people to realize, wherever you are listening, because we're talking about something local to our region, mm-hmm. but wherever you are, there's probably a Boys and Girls Club.
Yes.
So you're talking about the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Lynchburg,
yeah.
but this is national.
Yes.
Is it international?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But hopefully it gets to that point.
Yeah, but wherever you are from, you're from Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. There are going to be Boys and Girls Clubs mm-hmm. there.
Everywhere. Probably every state in America has a Boys and Girls Club.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So if your kid needs something to do or trying to, you know, just help them get out of trouble and they have mentors prepare for them, that's the perfect place mm-hmm. for them. Because I actually attended Boys and Girls Club when I was younger.
Oh, no way.
When I was about like elementary school, probably from like third to fourth grade, I attended. But then after that, I transitioned to like rec centers and things like that because they had like sports and stuff. But it's a good impact. It introduced me to a lot of different people, mm-hmm. I can say, and different interests as well, too. Mm-hmm.
So did you want to work for the Boys and Girls Club based off of your experience, or how did that come about?
Honestly, so I started doing like working with kids in the youth ministry at a local church here in Lynchburg, and that kind of like sparked my interest. The mentor I had at the time, mm-hmm. She was like, God is just calling you to work with the kids. And honestly speaking, at first I'm like, no, man, yeah. no. Ain't no, me, Derek? Like, yeah. Because most people may not know, I'm the oldest out of eight. So I was always around my mm-hmm. brothers and them and good with them. So then when it's transitioning on to college and everything, I was just like, no, working with kids, I've been around them all my life, nah. Mm-hmm. But also, when I started working with them in the church, it started to become like more of a passion thing for me, actually. Mm. You know, my mentor seen something in me that I ain't seeing myself at the time. And that's how I really started. And then I had a friend that worked at the Boys and Girls Club. She actually just recommended me. And then the rest was history, honestly speaking.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So I want to highlight something, because people who are listening are always thinking about, how can I help? How can I motivate? How can I, you know, we need the next generation of helpers. We need the mm-hmm. next generation of leaders. And what your mentor did for you is a phenomenon called the tap on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. If you see someone with potential, tell them.
Yeah.
So many times we do something because someone who is perceived to have leadership or higher up in the pecking order or whatever says, hey, Derek, you are really good with kids. Have you ever thought about?
Mm-hmm.
And most everybody can look back on their life and realize somebody tapped them on the shoulder and told them to apply for something or told them to seek leadership. Mm-hmm. So I love that your story highlights that.
Yeah. Thank mm-hmm. you. Thank you. Thank you.
Why do you work with teenagers? Or what do you like about working with teenagers?
What did I like? Let's see.
Like,
most people be like, really, teens? Awesome. Honestly speaking, they're full of surprises. You never really know what they're really going through at that time in their lives, because it could go any direction. And I think that what keeps me really coming back and keeps me interested. And I feel like I could relate to them in different ways, especially because I was a teenager once. And when people may say, like, nothing really changes under the sun, it's true. But also, I just love the growth aspect working with teens, looking at the ways of, like, when it first started, oh man, it was paining everybody, you know, like it was causing so much trouble, so much drama, but the consistency and in those things, being with them and mentoring them, once like 2 years in the long run, you see the progress, you're like, I love this.
Mm.
I love the the times that it takes, the rough patches, but what it gets to, the product producing afterwards. That's why I like working with teens, because it's not, they're not going to be like that forever. So, and they open up their minds. I think that's the most best thing about that, is opening up their minds to new things, especially in the local area of Lynchburg. I grew up in Richmond, and I grew up with a lot of opportunities, I can say. And my parents provided like different trips and things like that for me to see other opportunities and things, even just to have that mentality, like, I don't have to settle, you know? And I think I love installing that into the kids sometimes, because they don't really see a lot. They don't really have like that, sometimes fortunate to have that, and just to be able to just sow that seed and just watch it grow into a flower is the most beautiful thing I can say I love doing about it.
And I love hearing you say, even in a couple of years. And folks, oftentimes when you're working with teens or you're doing whatever the work is, your ministry, your calling, you know, whatever you're doing, 2 years seems like a long time, but you're sowing the seeds and you're already seeing the flower. You're already seeing the harvest. I think that's comforting for folks who are listening. I also have another question. I choose teenagers. That's my favorite age group.
Yeah.
But a lot of other people are terrified. So what would you say to someone who is afraid of the teens?
Honestly speaking, I feel like you can't go in there when you're working with teens. You can't go in there just not understanding them first. You have to go in there with a little compassion and a little bit of understanding, instead of telling them doing what's right is right, you know, because it's about comfortability when you're entering with teenagers, and letting them feel comfortable. Because usually all the time, all they allow is they're told what to do. If you give them like a free voice and express their opinion, the relationship will become strengthened after that. Honestly speaking, I think that's the biggest thing I learned. But also just, I feel like most of my friends say I come with a no judgment. So just with a little no judgment, but towards them, and just listen. That's the main thing they want to know. What teens is just being heard and listened to.
So you were already trending. We listen and we don't judge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And teens are funny.
Oh, very most definitely. Funny. They're probably, I understand when people say they give you life, because they give you a youthful heart, because they're always full of life.
They keep you young.
Always laughing, always joking, and really can't take certain things seriously. But I think it's always different when they know you're serious and be like, okay, I'm going to get it straight back, right? So,
So your podcast is about relationships, about lifestyle, that kind of thing. Do you find that your work with teenagers, like the things that you talk to them about and mentor them about, intersects with the things that you talk about on your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, probably when we first started, I interviewed a couple of kids that didn't go to the club, but they did with my youth ministry. And just ask them, like, how they experience things like mental health and things like that as well. And we're also in the process of trying to start a podcast with the Boys and Girls Club for my teenagers, actually. So I feel like it could be a really good thing, just because with the topics we came up with. And I feel like a lot of people may not, like, expect that coming from them. So I feel like it'll be a good thing. It is in the works, but I feel like when everything comes together, it's going to be something good that people, also parents, could just listen to, even just to give them more different perspectives of like how their teenagers might be acting, or, you know, things like that too as well. And we'll be talking about mental health as a teenager and like how COVID affected them and things like that.
So yeah. I love that. Yeah. There's a phenomenon called reverse mentoring. And we absolutely can learn from younger generations. We absolutely can learn from the current teenagers. They have a voice and they want to use it.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you don't give them the opportunity to sit at a table and use their voice, they're going to tell you whether or not you want to hear it. So it's better to make space.
That's true.
Why do teens need mentors, and how are teens that you work with currently connecting with their mentors?
I feel like they have to have someone in between the age gap between a parent. Sometimes when you don't have like an older sibling, sometimes you may feel like your parent might be too old to relate to certain things.
So like that near peer, you're a near peer.
Yeah. Yeah. I can say, yeah. So I think that's what it might be in between for. But also, mm-hmm. you know, like, even for me, like, I didn't always listen to my parents mm-hmm. the best way that I should have. And I feel like a mentor would have helped instead of learning, like, all these lessons and things by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like that's the main thing I did get involved with, like, mentoring and, like, working with kids. I wanted to be that person to never, like, always, you know, have to figure things out on your own, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like that was the biggest thing that made me want to start working with kids because I knew how hard it was for me, mm-hmm. like, just trying to figure it out. But also, like, my dad didn't understand because he grew up in a different generation, mm-hmm. you know? I grew up in an area when phones were starting to become, like, what they are right now. And it kind of, like, made me, like, okay, I have to learn so much by myself and so much that I don't know. I had to Google it, honestly yeah. speaking. Mm-hmm. But my main thing is just getting involved with them was just probably just, I want to be that person for you, you know? I want to be that individual where you feel like you can lean on or they can understand you. Even if you have questions, I'm willing to help you because I may be been in those similar situations and I'm here to help you and be a more support system for that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that was the biggest thing when I wanted to work with, like, teens is standing the gap between them mm-hmm. Because I, as an individual, felt like I couldn't have a mentor. I didn't have a mentor and I knew how hard it was for mm-hmm. myself. Mm-hmm. Especially in this day and age, in this new generation, mm-hmm. I know they need it. No offense to it, but, like,
mm-hmm. It's a lot to navigate.
It's a lot to navigate. It's a lot to process, you know, especially with the, you know, touching technology early and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't have, like, certain, like, tactics. Now I'm kind of glad they're taking out cell phones because mm-hmm. they can really connect with right. human beings, you know, mm-hmm. instead of a device.
We're parenting teenagers through a time that we didn't live through.
Yeah.
So I do think that whole near peer phenomenon is very important mm-hmm. because you're going to be closer to their age right now than the parents are. And oftentimes they see their parents or their grandparents or whatever grown up is raising them as, mm-hmm. as ancient.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways we are.
Mm-hmm.
Are you similar towards your siblings?
What do you mean by that?
Like, sort of bridging a gap between younger people and adjusting to the rest of the world. Did you kind of take up that responsibility as a brother, or was that, like, more of your professional experience coming into
play? I think more of my professional experience,
yeah.
honestly speaking, because I have siblings as close in age, and I have, like, a sibling that I'm literally, like, probably, like, 21 years older than.
Mm-hmm. So, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's very, very different. Yeah, it's different. But also, like, I think it's more so, like, a character in me because I can relate to anybody, really.
Mm-hmm, true.
I think just being humble and down to earth can really just start a foundation with anybody in the world. So mm-hmm. I just, yeah, it was just professionalism, just learned it over time, and mm-hmm. just networking with people, too.
Nice. So. How do you measure the impact of your work? Are there any success stories that you have in your memory that you'd like to share?
Yeah, of course. I have. It was a young lady I worked with when I first got to the club. She was mean to me. Very mean, but also, like, I think I went in the situation a little. You know how, like, most people, I'm going to come in with a hammer. And I look back, I came in there a little too, like, I shouldn't have. So I sat down, just talked to her. I think end of that school year, was like, you can't have these grades no more, man. You just can't. And she was like, okay, let's make a deal. So the deal was, if she get, like, honor roll, I'll get her a seafood boil. I don't know why kids love food so much. They do.
Food is a motivator.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'll do that. So the 9 weeks passed. She get, like, all A's and B's.
No way.
I'm like, so you actually can do this.
For a seafood dinner. Yeah. One.
She just needed some type of motivator.
Like, just yeah. even, mind you, in between those times, we just talking in there. Like, I'm giving her advice. She having questions. And honestly speaking, I think once she did that, she never stopped. Mm. And I just look at the impact how she was before I got there. Well, she was mean, had attitude. And just me just being consistent with her and just... her talking to me about, like, certain things with school, what she should do. And now she's, like, at VCU.
No way.
You know, freshman at VCU. And just seeing the fruits of it, it's like, okay, like, consistency is key. They may have days, they may be bad, may have attitude towards you. But in the midst of that, they're still listening.
Keep showing up.
Keep showing up and keep pressing through.
And have the conversation, because you had a brave conversation with her, mm-hmm. and you don't know that anybody has ever had the conversation of, we expect you to do better. Mm-hmm. That's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I knew, and I seen it, to, and I seen the potential, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. you can't, and that's like not saying every team, you know, capitalize on their potential, because sometimes you have the ones that have to learn on their own. And they make the wrong decision. And I tell them till I'm blue in the face, and it's like, man, like, oh, come on, man. I see what you can do,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I can always use that story from now on to forever, really, just to help people to really capitalize on their potential and knowing that, like, I seen it too, just like my mentor seen it to me,
mm-hmm.
I seen it in her, and just really just giving her that space, and she just ran with it. The daily checks, the daily conversations. And it paid off eventually, mm-hmm. you know. And I think I'd probably be, even when I went to the graduation, I had a couple kids just graduate. Mind you, we didn't think they was graduate, but just mm-hmm. having those talks, having those real live conversations with them. Because you have to be vulnerable with mm-hmm. them. I feel like if you're not, they're not really going to, that's mm-hmm. kind of like not preparing them for the world, really. Mm-hmm. We had those authentic conversations and the realness and just telling what it is. It's not always rainbows and things like that. Like, this was something you have to do. You know, I did it too. Part of it didn't want to, but at the end of the day, like, it'll better yourself. You'll look back and say, I appreciate what you did for me. I feel like that what I really look for at the end of the day is them really pressing through when they really don't want to do
mm-hmm. Resilience. Great. Mm-hmm. So that's a success story. I'm going off script here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Are there stories that break your heart?
Yeah, I could say, like, probably like we had like a club member that passed away.
Mm. That's what I was thinking
mm-hmm.
of.
Like, it's she had so much potential, so much love from other people that she brought into the club as well. Funny, I just think about those moments. That was probably a tough one. That was probably like the first one I think I probably had working professional. Mm. It's funny when I used to like, when Mr. Mark was at the club, he used to have like pictures up of like kids that used to go there. Mm-hmm. They used to go there and like that passed away and mm-hmm. things like that. And I'm like, really? This is what you experienced? Like, just hearing him just hear his experience. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, it happens sometimes, you know, but just you got to take those moments like a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a tough one, I think. I think that was a tough one I've experienced, I think, since my professional career mm-hmm. Because she was just so full of life. Even the people around her seen it.
You spend so many hours at the club
mm-hmm.
and you spend, in some ways, you spend as many hours as the parents do mm-hmm. with the children. So I think that's important that they become your kids.
Mm-hmm. It's like a family, I think. Yeah. Because that's the mentality I want the club to have is family. You know, we all look out for one another. We always know what each other's doing in each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the staff, I feel like that family environment creates more passion, but more also it builds bridges for other opportunities for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And even just to help other youth create a voice.
Hey friends, let's talk about real impact. Imagine a single mom struggling to keep her family together or a child sleeping on the floor because they don't have a bed. Now imagine you being able to meet that need. That's exactly what happens every day through Care Portal.
Care Portal is a platform that connects real-time needs from local children and families to people like you, churches and individuals who want to make a difference. With just a few clicks, you can step in, meet a need, and build a meaningful connection that changes lives.
This isn't just charity. It's the church and the community coming together, showing up in love and action. So if you're ready to turn compassion into action, visit careportal.org and see how you can be a part of the movement, because connection changes everything.
Visit careportal.org for more information on how to sign up and start meeting the needs of children and families in your own zip code. Once again, that's careportal.org.
Thank you, Care Portal, for sponsoring the Mended Futures podcast. I've had the pleasure of coming to the club mm-hmm. a few times in different capacities, and I even helped you with something a few years ago. So mm-hmm. I know the young lady that mm-hmm. you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
and that is heartbreaking on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
for people who have never been inside a Boys and Girls Club or the Lynchburg Club, what's a day in the life of the club like?
Full of energy, I'll tell you that. Usually the kids that get there, teenagers get there around like 2:30. You know, they pretty much they start off doing homework. Even with the younger kids, they start off doing homework or something called Power Hour. And also we have like a new reading Excel program as well with the younger kids. Because I feel like that was the biggest thing kids struggled with during COVID. Mm. So our youth director, youth coordinator, Christina, she's phenomenal at doing that. I think she came in and just seen the problem and just ripped it.
Mm-hmm. And you're just standing in the gap academically, too.
Yeah, because I commend her for that. Because honestly speaking, I feel like that was the toughest thing, like, between COVID and things that you seen between the younger kids. It's like, because I even had teenagers coming and helping them. And it was like, Derek, I didn't think it was that bad, but they really need the Excel help. Mm-hmm. So I think with that program, she helps them with navigating, learning how to read, but also processing their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually after they get there from the club, from doing homework and things, they go in the gym, they go outside, or they do activities with, like, STEM. I have a program called Healthy Habits. I usually cook with teens every Tuesday.
Nice.
So it's good, even workforce development. Mm-hmm. So the day-to-day thing is just they go to those different programs, Triple Play or STEM activity. And I think that I think Mondays and Wednesdays, we have, like, a rabbit that come in now. For like the younger kids, and they play with the rabbit and things like that too.
Rabbits, yeah. Pets.
Yeah.
What's outside of the club? Like, for people that have never been there, what's across the street?
Lynchburg Master Gardeners, that they come volunteer every year, every summer. Summer programs, that's what they do, like every Thursday. They'll go out to the garden and pick fresh potatoes, tomatoes, green peppers. I'm trying to think what else they cook. I don't think we got corn yet, but it's usually those type of things. And you will see the difference in between the master gardener's fruits and produce compared to the stores. It lasts a long time. It kind of opened my eyes a little bit when they did that. So they usually come help our kids learn how to garden. We also have an inside garden now too as well.
No way.
I think we grew like leaf lettuce. We grew arugula and things like that last summer as well. With the kids, so I think it's a good thing. The day-to-day things it get crazy sometimes. I feel like the most crazy activity usually when kids are full of energy is Triple Play, and that's anything from kickball, football, any sports activity usually. And once they get down, we go get snack, and then they probably do another activity within a computer lab or things like that, and then it'll be time to go usually. So yeah.
What do you cook with them?
We cooked everything, I think. I know Black History Month, we made chicken and waffles. We made gumbo.
Nice.
This past Tuesday, we made hamburgers, junior bacon cheeseburgers from like Wendy's. So
nice. That's awesome.
So it was good.
When you think about that, that's a life skill and it's a career skill because a lot of kids love to cook.
Yes.
And that's a very marketable skill.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they love it. Trust me. That's the biggest thing. I think they trying to ask me for a seafood boy.
Oh,
but I was like,
seafood.
Yeah, I was like, you have to earn that, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Gotta get good grades.
Yeah, you have to earn that.
So the name of this podcast is the Mendon Futures Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find yourself the product of a Mendon future?
Yeah. Like I said, yeah. I feel like I won't say my job, but I feel like I have to stand in the gap for the Mendon future for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
For all of them just have a voice, for all of them just to see that opportunity, what they can do, and creating opportunities for them. I feel like that's the biggest thing. I feel like that I'm mending the future for them and standing in the gap for them to see those things and to attain it. Because think about it, like, they're the next generation. You want them to do the things you did for them. Honestly speaking, I think I'm doing the thing that older people did for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so other people helped mend your future.
Yeah. Honestly, I took the opportunity and I seized it.
Cool.
And I seen a lot of some did not really make it in between those lines, but I sat there and listened, even though it was hard conversations even with my father about certain things too.
You've used the phrase stand in the gap a lot today, and that I like phrases. I like things that give people a visual.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you talked about reading, you know, you're filling in that gap academically at the club. You are standing in the age gap between teens and their parents or their grownups. If you think about it, that's an easy thing for folks who are interested in volunteering, folks who are interested in playing a part on the river, on the Vision 30 River. There are gaps.
Yeah.
Find them. Look for them. If a kid doesn't have a mentor, if a kid doesn't have a skill or is interested in a certain profession, try to find, plug in some of those gaps. Find people who will pour in. Yes. So I like that you keep talking about that. I want to go back to what it's like at the club. Mm-hmm. I've visited a few times.
Mm-hmm.
The little ones are very different than the big ones.
Yes.
Talk about 6-year-old behavior versus 16-year-old behavior. You are with the teens.
Yeah.
What are the little ones like?
Little ones are full of life. They're funny too. I think they're more funny than the teens sometimes, yeah. Honestly speaking. But they're so sweet. Like, I feel like the first thing like I have to do when they walk in is say hey to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they always feel an energy. They run in the door, they'll run to go put their bags up and run to the net to the activity. They're full of energy, full of life.
And what do the teens do? The teens don't run.
No, they walk. They're more chill. They're more like, oh, what are we doing? They're more talking. What are we doing? Or they on their phones, they check things, they don't talk to me. But the little kids are like, they running as soon as they touch the door, they running in the building. And they'll greet the front desk person. Hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Put hair up and put up their jacket. Like, where's their program leader? And run to them, honestly speaking.
The few times that I was coming regularly a few years ago, through my work with the local school system and through a local nonprofit, there was a little one. She was probably 6 to 8 at that point. Every single time, can I give you a hug? Can Aww. I? That just so yep. genuinely excited are. To see you. And teens are typically not like that. I would compare it to dog and cat behavior.
Yeah, that's good.
Because dog always want
to
play.
Yes, really excited to see you. And the teens are kind of like, hey, who are you? Yes. Yes. Yeah. What are you doing here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the younger kids love meeting new people. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. They have that freeness about them.
Yeah.
And they're always interested in the things and want to know who are these people that's in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always asking questions. So those are the difference between the teens and the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they're funny. Sometimes the little kids are more funny than them. Mm-hmm. Especially if you listen and hear how they interact with each other. Oh, man. It's life-giving, honestly speaking. Working with the younger kids too, because I work with them in the summer too, and I have relationships with the younger ones, and they're funny. I think one time we did like an activity with computers, right? And one of the guys' name was Woody, and one of the young kids was like, "I got a snake in my boot." He was referencing a Toy Story, and I just kept laughing. I was like, "What did you? Why do you keep saying that?" And then I thought about the Woody. Toy Story movie Woody, because he has a snake on his boot, and I was like, "Man, stop doing that, man."
Something's around.
Yeah. And then he kept slapping his leg like it too, like he was a cowboy.
Oh.
So is this funny?
They'll keep you young.
Yes.
And if not, they'll make you sore and you'll need some ibuprofen, right?
Somewhat. Yeah.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah, not yet.
So how could the community help the work that you're trying to do? What do you need?
Honestly speaking, we volunteers, if they're willing to help some of our younger kids read, to come in, even just volunteering, just showing them anything like any STEM activities they want to help with. Let's see, even creating up different opportunities if somebody want to provide help with field trips and things like that. That's also needed as well. I feel like the biggest thing, I feel like even for teenagers, but young people as well, is take them to different places and show them different opportunity. I feel like that will motivate kids in the long run, because I think even for me, even when I took my teens to King's Dominion, it was like an eye-opener for some of them. It's like, it's a whole world out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally just read a paper from one of my teens that's doing a Youth of the Year competition. And she talks about that. It was like, I kind of like showed her there's more than just Lynchburg.
Wow.
And, like, I ain't gonna kind of touch my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just those help us create more opportunities for our kids to better themselves, but also see something different. I feel like even since I've been working with teens, it's sometimes the lack of like of opportunity that they see, because all they see is Lynchburg.
Or their perceived opportunity. Yeah. You know, there are opportunities out there, but you really have to connect.
Mm-hmm.
You have to connect them to the opportunity.
Yeah. And sometimes they're not in that coherent space sometimes too. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's the biggest thing. I feel like even going for the whole club in general is to have those opportunities to maybe give mm-hmm. the whole club those opportunities to see things and go out and obtain it as well too. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier that you felt like your parents gave you a good opportunity to see things outside mm-hmm. of where you grew up. Mm-hmm. So what was your King's Dominion experience? Do you remember?
It was cool. I mean, I used to go with my cousins and things. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing that stepped out is when we went to the Halloween thing and I was scared. They used to have the haunted houses and things mm-hmm. like that. And they used to be like, Derek, you have to get on roller coasters. I'm like, nah. They used to force. Honestly, as a kid, I could get on roller coasters. Nah, I can't touch it.
Yeah.
But that was in your backyard. Was there an experience that someone exposed you to, like you exposed them to King's Dominion? Do you see what she means by that? Like,
I think it was probably when I was attending the rec center, mm-hmm. and I think they took me to like Baltimore and Washington and seeing those type of things, like a bigger city, and seeing going to the national baseball games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But also just like going to beaches and things that my dad and them like took me to. And then my aunt and them stayed out of town, so we'll go. But also football kind of helped me see other things when I got to college. When I mm-hmm. went to, I think the farthest I've been at the time, I think that before I played college football was probably North Carolina or mm-hmm. D.C. or Maryland mm-hmm. or Pennsylvania. That was the furthest I went. And then when I went to college, I went to see, got to Mississippi, went to Kentucky mm-hmm. and those type of things.
So wait a minute. Yeah. I think you left that part out of your story.
The college football.
Yeah, you went to college and
he is humble.
What? So tell us a little bit about that.
I played at VUO for mm-hmm. about 2-3 years.
Okay.
Until I transferred to Liberty.
Okay. So you came here to Lynchburg mm-hmm. and went to a small private school called Virginia University of Lynchburg.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even know that exists.
Yeah, they don't.
Okay.
And it kind of like gave me more interest of other things. And I had plenty of opportunities to leave that school to go to somewhere else. But I don't know. Honestly, I felt like something was still calling me here in Lynchburg. Mm. And then when God kind of opened the door to go to Liberty, I was like, I guess you really do want me here.
It's very cool.
There's something about the city of Lynchburg. There's something about this region where you come.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people come for college because there are a half a dozen schools here.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't leave.
Yeah.
Or you don't leave right away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Honestly speaking, most people may know this, but I feel like Lynchburg changed my life.
Mm, that's cool.
And you work with teenagers
mm-hmm.
who have lived in Lynchburg or stay in a few block radius in Lynchburg. They don't even know the whole city.
Mm-hmm.
And what do so many of these teens want to do?
Escape. Yeah.
And you're choosing their city.
Yeah.
And I think there's something powerful to that. I love the Beacon of Hope slogan mm-hmm. that all of the kids in the city of Lynchburg are going through the Beacon of Hope program, but it's stay close, but go far.
Yeah.
So you're showing kids that you're working with that you're choosing mm-hmm. to stay close.
Yeah, right here.
And you've gone,
gone far. Yeah, it's true. And honestly, it helped me become a man too, honestly speaking.
Hmm.
Just being independent, figuring the things out. Even with a group of guys, my friends, like mm-hmm. we learned together. We mm-hmm. had questions, we learned with each other. So it helped me in those aspects as well, too.
Hmm. How do you teach a teenager to advocate for themselves?
Let them know they have a voice. It's something they believe in strongly. You know, you can't let anybody take that away from you, especially when you know it's right, you know, and you talk it over with your friends and they clarify, like, you're not wrong in that situation. Stand in that. Don't really back down from it. I feel like if you do that, you could go a long way.
So on the flip side, what would you say to adults about teenagers or adults who work with teenagers? Mm. Because some people are very receptive to teens.
Yeah.
And some are the opposite. So if you're telling a teen to advocate, what do you need to tell adults
to advocate
who are listening?
honestly speaking, come with them with a humbleness, and don't come in there to try to, like, I feel like the biggest thing when I learn, don't come in there with authority so much.
With and an agenda.
If you really would just sit there and just build with them, I feel like that's what they love. Like, when you build with them, you connect with them on certain things and their interests. The rest of fools over time. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing when you're working with kids, because I feel like they're always told what to do all the time. And really, people don't really ask them opinion. I can say it, like, I can agree to that, because I was a teen and I was never used to, like, even when my parents was, oh, can I do this? And it was like, you got to do what you told. It's usually creating that space and finding out how their thought process, how they're thinking, what made them like these things. Like, find their interest. Like, have kids that like to draw. Have kids that did poems and want to show me those poems. And I'm like, and I'm taking interest in reading them. You wouldn't never really know they had so much powerful poetry in the midst of it, because most people wouldn't take the time just to have a conversation with them or build that connection with them, you know. So,
cool. I think that's really powerful. A lot of times we are busy. And we are authoritative. And yes, they are minors. But working with teenagers, especially 15 to 18-year-olds, when they're 18, in a lot of ways, we push them out of the nest. Yeah. And then we look back and we're like, why aren't they self-sufficient? Or why aren't they adulting? You know, you have to help them in a safe environment learn how to communicate and learn how to cook or learn how to do life skills in a safe space.
And honestly, when you touch on that, I feel like my biggest thing when I went to high school in Richmond, I had a class called Life Planning, and it had all these segments about resume building, how to obtain a job, even the baby aspect. You had like a fake baby that you had to take care of for like 2 weeks, and it had cooking and had every different life skills that aspect that any individual should need to prepare them before they like exit. Honestly speaking, I feel like that class kind of gave me a taste of everything like what you might experience.
It's a high school class. Cool.
Yeah. Luckily, and randomly, they just put me in it because I transferred to a different school, and I was like, life planning, what is this?
Honestly, he needs this.
Yeah. So during that class period, she talked about all those categories of what you might experience in life, and just giving me a reality of like how things should be. And I just really just was open. Like, I was never a kid or like, I ain't doing this. I was always open and just ready to listen. And eventually I was like, oh, okay. Even with budgeting, she talked about budgeting, how to sign a check, all those type of things. So it was very helpful for me.
I love that.
Yeah.
So as we're closing here, you have your own podcast. What's a nugget of wisdom that you've learned through your podcast with your friends?
Everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. And you always learn from them as well. And apply it to your life. No matter what it is, it's always a seed that's sown. So, yeah.
I love that.
Yes.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
If anyone is an entrepreneur or have any interest of like speaking to teens about like workforce development or things they experience, just let me know. Please.
And how would they get in contact with you?
My phone number.
Give your phone number to the people.
Okay. Okay. No. It was the club. It was the club number.
Don't give your phone number.
It was the club number I was going to give.
Yeah.
All right. 434-846-1111. That is the club number. And then you will hear the list of extension numbers to get in contact with me as well. And then my email is dparham. What is it? lbgclyh.org.
Nice. So, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Mended Futures podcast, hosted by Allison Jordan and Taylor Melvin, produced by Liam Chafin, Sue England, Allison Jordan, Robert Day, Sully Jugar, and Taylor Melvin. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to see more.